I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And Alex, by the way, has been great with us here on Dukes and Bell all year long, keeping us updated. We talked to him right after we found out we were going to have baseball through the course of the season and now after the playoffs. Double A, it's good to have you back on the show. Appreciate your time today. I want to start first with one of the big things that we're talking about when it comes to our Braves, and obviously that is how this offseason is going to work. And I know we don't have the kind of time for you to dive completely and wholeheartedly into it, but there are factors that are going to play. And I want you, if you can, explain to our listeners, you know, it's just not as easy as going, hey, Marcel, we want to re-sign you, or we're going to take care of this veteran pitcher. What are the constraints, if any, that you feel like you will have facing this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's, that's the thing. And I'm doing all these media interviews now right out of the gates, and we still haven't even, like, sat down and started to plan things out. But, look, part of it is most times I get to the off season, and, you know, within a few weeks, I have a decent idea where our payroll number is going to be.
Right.
And then you start to basically map out who you might go after, whether that's trades, free agency, things like that, and you start doing the math, and you try to decide how you're going to break things up. So, you know, unfortunately, we don't have a payroll number right now. And I know I've said this before, too. When we have it, we don't divulge it because it doesn't, you know, from a negotiation standpoint, it's only going to hurt us. But we don't have it. And that's the thing is, I don't know when we're actually going to get it, because that's obviously dictated on. They do all kinds of models. What's attendance going to be? How are things going to look? All those things. And, you know, and nobody knows what that's going to be. And I know fans hear this, you know, that doesn't necessarily get them excited, but look, from a baseball standpoint, I know, Mike, if you had your choice, your first choice is to sign with David Ortiz at the South.
yes, sir.
And I want to as well. I mean, trust me, I watched the same thing all you guys did. He was awesome. He was right there. And you don't want to take that guy away from your team, the lineup and everything else that was the strength of our club. Obviously, the bullpen was incredibly strong as well. And you had a lot of young guys step up in the rotation. But like anything, over the course of 6 months now, you still want to have as much depth as you can in the rotation. So, you know, the issue now becomes, okay, how do you break all that down? Payroll, how does all that work? Are you going to delve into the trade market, and then you have to trade a bunch of young guys away? There's a lot of heavy lifting to do. So I know, obviously, what the strengths and weaknesses of the club are, and I know the areas I'd like to add. The unknown is what resources will we have to work with, and it's just too early to tell.
I understand, as Carl said, with COVID and a lack of revenue coming in, we understand that aspect of it. But we'll just talk, I'll do broad strokes then. You had an amazing run, and it was something else. And, you know, best of three, best of five, and then having to pitch 7 days in a row, obviously not having the starters, it just wrecked us. Would you want to augment what you have with this young staff with an established starter if you can do that?
Yes, we definitely would like to do that if it could be done. And look, things worked out for us. We had a lot of opportunities. I can tell you, Bryce Wilson was a name that was asked about a lot at the trade deadline. He's a controllable young starter. He's a strike thrower. He wasn't performing well for us. That's the type of guy you should be asking for. You think, are they ready to quit on him now? This is, am I buying low? And I'm glad we stuck with him. And, you know, some of the trade offers that were there, they would have been guys that were going to be, that would have, on paper, would have helped us. But they would have been free agents at the end of the year, or in one other instance, maybe someone that had a year of control, and that would have been the end of it. And you look at, you know, any trade we would have made for a rental would have been for someone where you said, hey, we're getting this guy to make a playoff start for us and help us. And it worked out. That Bryce was awesome. I don't, you know, anybody we would have gotten at the trade deadline, we would have loved for them to do what Bryce Wilson did in the NLCS. So, but look, all that said, when you're relying on young starters, Ian Anderson was great, but next year the league's going to adjust to him. He was new, and he's going to have to make adjustments, and they're going to have to stay healthy, and the innings and the workload and everything else. So you still want to have that depth, and if we could add another starter, that's something we'd like to do.
Alex, do you plan to upgrade third base or one of the outfield spots? And I bring that up because of consistency. I still think Austin Riley has a lot of upside and potential. You know, I was trying to explain to our listeners, he really, you know, he came up, and then this was his first full season, and it really wasn't even a full season. As a starter, how do you feel about those two positions, whether it's one outfield spot or specifically at third base?
Yeah, that's first. So I'll address third base first. So Riley had a solid year. Not a great year by any stretch. Mm. We know, you know, he shows flashes where he'll make a great defensive play or he'll hit a majestic home run. But then there'll be, you know, some inconsistencies and so on. I think there's a few things to look at with him. Is it reminds me a little bit of Dansby Swanson when he first broke in. And Dansby, you know, was okay. And he gradually got a little bit better in getting those reps at the big league level where, you know, I wasn't here in 2017, but my understanding was him and Freddie were kind of the main guys. They were starting the year. The team was basically built around those guys. And then by the end of 17, Ozzie Albies came up. And then by 18, Acuna came up, and now he wasn't the focal point of the offense. So I think with Riley, what we were allowed to do this past year is we didn't have to, you know, count on him to hit 3-4-5 or things like that, but he hits the ball hard. The biggest thing for me was that the strikeout rate came down, and that was a big improvement, and that's pretty key for him, and the walk rate climbed as well. And we know the raw power is there. So as he continues to learn the league, has more of a plan at the plate, I can see him continuing to get better and to improve. So the plan would be to continue to run him out there, unless there's some unbelievable deal out there for us, that, you know, clear upgrade, just like we like Camargo, but Donaldson was available, and we had to jump on that. But the plan would be for Riley to be out there. And then for the outfield, with what Adam Duvall did, what Christian Pache did in the playoffs, the quality of his at-bats were amazing. You know, put the stats aside, just some of his takes and laying off sliders down and away from righties and so on. And then obviously you got guys like Acuna as well. Those three outfielders by themselves, we're pretty excited about those three.
And it's Alex Anthopoulos, guys, who just tuned in, joined us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We're down in Northport. We're breaking camp. Pache is going to be starting in the outfield next year.
You know, we haven't committed to that, but he was starting in our most important games of the year. So, and now, it was because of the injury to Duvall, but he played well, and he opened our eyes. And you know, the biggest concern for us with him was he just got up to Gwinnett at the end of last year in 2019. He played okay there. He still was a little crude. We tried to get as much development in that we could with him in Gwinnett, and it was exciting to see what he did in the playoffs when he was pushed into action in terms of an everyday role. So he'll have every opportunity to compete and break with us. I'm not ready to say 100% he's the guy, but he definitely opened our eyes, and he will be in a good position to be one of our starters.
Alex Anthopoulos, Braves general manager here on Dukes and Bell. You talked about the strength being the bullpen, and it was. But Shane Green, Mark Melanson, they hit the market. Will Smith, Chris Martin are back. How do you supplement that? Do you keep both, keep one? How are you looking at the bullpen and maintaining that consistency?
Yeah, I think the one thing I've learned over time is having the bullpen depth is pretty critical and important, especially guys will get hurt and guys won't perform. But, you know, Tyler Matzik and A.J. Minter were two huge left-handers for us as well, and they're coming back. So we feel like we have four late-inning guys in Martin, Smith, Minter, Matzik right now. You know, what we think, you know, obviously those guys were getting the ball in big spots in the playoffs. But look, Melanson was fantastic for us. I know he loved being here. Shane Green was amazing for us as well. He carried this bullpen first 5-6 weeks, it felt like. So, you know, he was one of our better relievers as well for a long time. And then he really... he didn't get a chance to pitch much in the Miami series and the Red series, but he had a fantastic series against L.A., especially that first outing when he came in and struck out 5 in 2 innings. Right. So, look, we like them both. I think we'll have conversations with both. Where that goes, I'm not sure. I like the fact that we have four late-inning guys as a starting point. That's certainly nice. But we want to have that deep bullpen. We want to have 8 guys that we feel good about so we don't have to wear them out. You know, if guys are down one night, we have other guys that can come in late. So that model worked, the formula worked, and if we can continue it, we're certainly going to try.
It is Alex Anthopoulos, guys, the GM, and obviously just an amazing year. 3 years in a row now, we won the division. We played the Dodgers a couple of years ago. We weren't ready, and here we are. We had them on the ropes, and we've talked about the pitching. I know you've said before that Terry McGuirk and Liberty give you the all the wherewithal to do what you need, but from a Braves fan standpoint, our fans are going to say, look, it's time for us to punch through. We spend, I think we're 14th in spending in the big leagues this year. Are they going to give you the chance to open up the purse strings? But again, I know you said we've got this COVID thing to deal with, but are they going to give you all the resources to take it next level?
Yeah, and I guess I'd say, look, and I think no matter where you are, even when I work with the Dodgers that spend a ton and have all the resources, and fans are always going to want more, rightfully so. I'm a sports fan. I love the Falcons. I love the Hawks. You know, I want to know that everyone's doing everything that they can. You know, what I can say to that is since I've been here, payroll has climbed each year. And like you said, we're 14th this past year. And it's climbed to the highest payroll it's ever been in the history of the organization. So you know, people will always want it to be higher. Mm-hmm. That just goes with being a sports fan, and I get it. But at the end of the day, obviously, no one's going to have a bottomless pit. No one's, and you know, I don't think you're ever going to see us up there with the Yankees and the Dodgers and things like that. And then you have you know the uncertainty piece about COVID, and look, there's no doubt we did not generate the revenue that we not even close. So in the past, not having fans come in, we drew 2.7 million fans a year ago. Having that down at zero obviously has a significant impact on things. So eventually this will all get taken care of. Fans will be back and we'll be back up and running. The question is when and how does that impact things and so on. And you know, the one thing with our club and our company is everything is disclosed. Everyone can see how the company's doing financially and so on. So I will say this, our owners, our chairman, Terry McGuirk, they want to win. And especially the deeper we go in the playoffs every year, they know how close we are. They live and die with this team. They want to win. They want us to have good players. And obviously you need to balance all those things. So I know I just kind of skated around on a lot of that stuff, but we're going to do whatever we can because our long-term and short-term goals are always going to be the same.
Double A, are you going into the offseason with the mindset that the DH is here to stay? Do you think they're bringing that back and we're going to have a DH moving in the next season?
Yeah, that's another thing that, you know, I don't know when that'll be resolved. I mean, for right now, the agreement that was put in place at the DH, the expanded playoffs, the seven-inning doubleheaders, all those things were just in place for 2020. So just based on the past agreement that the union and the commissioner's office made, that was just for 2020. Now, clearly, a lot of people have strong opinions, and things overall, I think, went really well, the extra inning rule and so on. So I would anticipate at some point there'll be discussions at that level, at the league level and the union level. But right now, we haven't been told of anything, or we haven't been notified of anything. So, you know, all that we know is that these rules were in place for 2020 only, and you know, that doesn't mean that it can't happen for 2021. But we haven't been advised yet. So I would say the best position for us right now is probably wait and see.
Okay, because you know, the players' union is definitely going to want it. Keeps more guys with the JOB. But, yeah, I mean, if you've been just tuning in, we already talked about Pache, and they're going to make all the efforts, as Alex explained, as Alex Anthopoulos joins us. So, yeah, you got Waters. We've already talked about, you know, Pache. You've got such a great young nucleus of stars on this team. So, I mean, this year, did you think, with all the things we had to deal with, would you say the Braves probably handled it as good as anyone, if not the best in the major leagues?
No, I'll say this. I think a lot of people will be proud of what they did, but I feel pretty confident that, you know, we did not have a positive test from the minute we opened the doors of our clubhouse. Not a staff member, no one on the grounds crew, nobody, not one person in the organization that stepped foot into Truist Park, into our clubhouse, tested positive the entire time. And that's tough because of if people are living at home, traveling. You don't know what anybody does the minute they leave the ballpark. So the fact that people did that, I thought they did an unbelievable job. And we had a lot of meetings and so on. And this has been talked about as well, but I do think, unfortunately, the fact that Freddie Freeman and Will Smith and Toussaint and Pete Cosma got it at the outset, it scared the whole clubhouse. And it worked to our favor because people saw, especially Freddie getting as sick as he did. I think that woke anybody that was asleep on this, it woke everybody up, and it certainly helped.
I don't want to let you go because I got like a ton more questions. I know, just keep you for a few more minutes. Real quick, Freddie going to be the highest paid Brave with a new contract extension?
Well, he's the highest paid Brave right now.
Even more so. Yes. We're talking about...
I'm just keep going and going and going.
Well, I'm talking about on par with the stars in this league. You and I both know he's underpaid for the value of what we get. I know you've talked about wanting to do a contract extension. Both sides want to do it. What's that mean for Freddie? What are we talking about?
Look, and you guys know this. You guys are free to ask me anything you want. I never get, you know, and all I can do, if I want to hand check you and dodge you, that's all I can do. But, what I'd say with Freddie is this. He's obviously, he signed his contract 7 years ago. It was an 8-year deal. I think both sides did a fantastic job because that much longer later, with all those guaranteed years, he's making $22 million at this point. I mean, he's absolutely been worth all of it with everything he means to this organization. One of his mentors and idols is someone like Chipper Jones that wanted to be with one organization his entire career. Freddie's been vocal about that. He's not afraid to say that. And we've had discussions about it. So, the plan and the goal is going to be for him to be here long term. And I've said this many times too. I know I'm going to get asked about it, especially with a year left on his deal, and I'll probably get asked about it more often. We're going to work really hard when the time comes that no one's going to know. No one's going to know we're talking. No one's going to know about the back and forth. And the first, hopefully, anyone's going to hear about it, if we're doing our jobs correctly, is, hey, we just announced an extension and so on, and he's going to be happy, and we're going to be happy and all that. That's certainly the goal. You can never guarantee anything, but that's what we want. That's what he wants. And when that does occur, it's going to be kept extremely quiet and to a small group, and hopefully the first anybody hears of it is when we have a deal.
One more thing, Alex. I don't know if this is hard or not. Last year you had a plan and it worked out perfectly. We all want Ozuna back. What if he leaves? What's the plan?
That's a great question. Well, so we went into last offseason with the plan was to try to sign Donaldson back, knowing that there's no guarantees, obviously, when someone gets to free agency. But the outset of free agency, we had Ozuna as a guy that we really liked and we felt offensively would give us what Donaldson gave us, if not more, just with what we had internally. But he's going to be right there. We had him as north of a 900 OPS and so on. But Donaldson fits so well because we had him and so on. So right now, our hope and our goal is to have Ozuna back. Should things not work out that way, the plan will be kept very tight-lipped, and no one will know. And I can tell you, when we signed Donaldson, we kept that super quiet. Like, right. Nobody knew. And I think that kind of broke basically the day he was on his way to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And if we're doing our job right, you guys won't know a thing. The fans won't know a thing until it's done. Okay. You guys will get ripped and I'll get crushed and so on. And then we'll find out, obviously, when the year goes on, the ones that were good signings and the ones that were bad. And that's sports, right? So My whole thing is I've won the winner before. I've had where people were excited and all that, and then the deal flopped. And then I've had other ones where you're getting ripped in the off season, but during the season, fans only care if you're right. So even if they agree with you in the winter and you end up being wrong, they're not going to give you the benefit of the doubt, which is fine because it's our job to be right. Right. So my view is as long as we get it right and we keep putting a good product and a winning product out in the field, it all works out in the end.
Well, again, and by the way, just so you know, we're always taking shots. It was a great job last year, the Donaldson thing. It was a smart play. It worked out great the year before, and you made the right move. And look, fans just love Ozuna. Carl, he is our David Ortiz. Come on, Alex.
No, I am with you. And look, and let me say this too. When it comes to shots or criticism, that's part of the gig. Whether you're John Scherholz or Pat Gillick, Hall of Fame GM, I don't care who you are, you will be criticized in this job. And if you don't like it, don't take the job. Do something else. And that's just reality. You can't get offended. And I'm a fan of other sports teams. And since I've been in Atlanta, I've really gotten into the Hawks and the Falcons as well. And I can get really opinionated as well. And I don't have the same information. I try to look at it through an executive lens and knowing that, but that's part of being a fan, that you can be passionate, you can get upset, you can get angry, you can have an opinion, you can talk to your friends. So I understand it. I don't get upset about it. At the end of the day, we just want our front offices to ultimately put a winning team on the field and be right more than the wrong. You're not going to bat 1,000. You're going to miss. And what you better not do is when you do miss, you better not lose your nerve. So from that standpoint, you can't go in and, you know, some are going to work, some aren't going to work, but you still have to stick to your guns. Same process, knowing that you just need to be right more than you're wrong, and hopefully, we can have a team that can get back to the World Series again.
Great stuff, Alex. We really, really appreciate your time today. Mm-hmm. Went a little bit longer than normal, but hey, man, after this season, there's so many questions and things that we want to find out about our team. Hey, let's do lunch and find out more about these deals you're going to do, okay?
Absolutely. We'll tell you. I'll bring an easel and everything, and I'll title it The Plan.
Sounds right, good.
We'll bring the beer.
Hey, congratulations. Exactly. Seriously.
Take a photo, put it on Twitter.
Yeah, right. Congratulations on the season. We want more. We'll talk to you soon, AA. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.